Turn your Bibles with me to Isaiah 59, Isaiah chapter 59. Verse 21 of Isaiah 59 reminds us of this covenant, this promised plan of God once again that we have been discussing. Let's read verse 21 of Isaiah 59. It says, "As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore." Now this passage, this verse, comes in the context of God looking around and saying, you know what? I don't see anyone that can save Israel. So I'm going to, by my own arm, save Israel. And I'm going to send a Redeemer. And we all understand that is Jesus Christ. But this covenant that is made here is the same one that we see in Jeremiah 31 that was quoted in Hebrews 8. You remember that we're told that there's going to come a time when God is going to make his people know him, and his words will be in their heart. No one will have to teach them his words because they will be with them. And he will be with them and be their God. And so we're seeing this covenant that God has made predicted here once again in Isaiah 59 and shown to the people of God in Isaiah 59. And of course, we saw the fulfillment of that in Jesus Christ. We see in Hebrews that we can continue to trust in this covenant that God is making for our salvation and for our relationship with Almighty God. And so it's important that we see that in the midst of all that's going on in this world, and at the time of Isaiah and in Israel, God's plan is being fulfilled. And God's still doing what he wants to do. And in spite of what other people are doing in the nation of Israel, in spite of their rebellion, he is still orchestrating his plan of salvation. We look around in our world today and we see chaos. We see things that are totally out of control. We look at things and we say, well, how is God going to do what he says he's going to do with our world in the condition that it is? Well, remember that God knows what condition this world is in, and he knows what it's going to be like as well. And he's even predicted that in his word. But in spite of all that we see around us, I want us to remember that God is orchestrating his plan of salvation, and he will continue to orchestrate that plan throughout our future right into eternity. And one of those plans, one of the aspects of this plan, involves God being a rescuer. God being a rescuer. He wants to rescue us. He wants to deliver us. He wants to rescue us from our sins. He wants to rescue us from ourselves. And we see here in this passage in Isaiah 59 that he is trying to get Israel to see that he wants to help them, that he wants to rescue them, but they've got to call on him in order to do that. You know, when we're in trouble, we call on a number, right? What's that number? 911. When we find ourselves in trouble, when we find ourselves in an emergency and we need help, we call 911. I'll never forget the day I walked up to the church, to our house. It was the church parsonage. This was back in Virginia. And there are ambulances all around my house. And I'm like, what's going on? So I run into the house. And, Michaela, they're looking at Michaela. And I was like, what happened? And Christy called 911 because Michaela fell and hit her head. And so it was Hannah. Oh, Hannah. Okay, let me get that straight. So I'm so glad that we were able to have them come and check on her. And we understand that we sometimes need to call for some help. It is good to know that help is just a phone call away, especially in a life or death situation. When a life is on the line, it is important to know how to handle these critical situations. Can you imagine being in a life or death situation and not being able to communicate to someone for help because you didn't know how to get in touch with those who could help you? Well, the nation of Israel had found themselves in a similar situation in a spiritual sense. We are told in chapter 58 of Isaiah that Israel could not understand why God was not responding to them with help for their troubles. Verse 1 of chapter 59 makes it clear that it was not because God was not capable of helping them. It says his hand was not shortened. His hand is not shortened. He had all the response vehicles in perfect working condition. His ear was not heavy. God's communication center was fully operational. George is a volunteer fireman and he understands this. You got to have all the vehicles in proper working order. So when that call comes, the engine starts up and they're able to go out to the call. And all the communications need to be working properly so that when someone calls in, they can get the help they need. That wasn't the problem with God. God's response vehicles are all perfectly in order. And his communication center is online and fully operational. However, like calling 911, there is a procedure to follow if you are going to get God's help. We all need God's help in our life, so it is important that we know the procedure for getting his help. Isaiah 59 tells us this procedure. So let's take a look at this passage and see how we can get God's help. Now, first of all, I want us to understand to get God's help, you must assess your situation. You must understand what your condition is. You must look at your situation and say, you know what? I need help. Everything is not okay with me. I need help. The first step in getting help is to figure out what kind of help you are going to need and then determine how bad the situation really is. Look at verses 2 through 4. It says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingertips with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity." So Israel is in bad shape. They're in bad shape. Can you imagine hitting your head and you're bleeding profusely and you're like, I'm okay. You got this mortal wound. You're gushing out blood and you say, oh, I'm fine. And he's, you don't need to call 911. I'm good. That's the condition that Israel is in spiritually here. They are shedding innocent blood. They are treating others terribly, like we found out last week. And yet they think they're okay. They were not assessing their situation properly. They weren't going to get any help because they had no idea how bad off they really were. And it's funny, Israel needed spiritual help. They were so steeped in sin that they had no problem with lying, even if it came at the expense of others. You know, it's amazing to me how many people think that lying is okay. You know, it's just part of life, you know. I was talking to a car salesman one time, and this was his comment. It was derogatory. I was haggling with a price with another salesman, and he came over, and, you know, he had an attitude. And so he goes, yeah, well, sometimes you get a lie in this business, being a car salesman, just like when you're a preacher. That's what he said to me. Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh. And that's the way people think. They think that's just part of life. I remember a friend of ours was buying a piano, Chris and Wendy. They were buying a piano, and they went to this piano dealership, and they asked, you know, what the price of this piano was, and, you know, it was a new piano, and they were looking at others. And they went to another place, and the guy, well, this first place said, this is guaranteed the lowest price. So you know how they do that. And they went to another place, and the place was like, no, we can give it to you for much cheaper than that. Well, he calls back the other place and says, why was this so different? And the guy said, well, that's just part of doing business. Lying about it was just part of doing business. Lying that it was cost more than what it really did is just part of doing business. That's what they thought. This is the exact condition that the people of Israel were in. They saw no problem with their lying lips. They thought it was just part of the way life should be. And so when you're dealing with someone like God, who wants us to be honest in our dealings and honest with Him about our sin, that doesn't fly. That doesn't fly. He wants us to be honest. You know what? Be honest with God. When He points out your sins, recognize them as sin. Be honest with yourself. Say, look, I do some things that are bad. I do some things that are wrong. If you're going to have access to God's help, you've got to be honest about your spiritual condition. Be transparent with God. I like people who are transparent, who are who they are. They're not putting up a facade. Well, God is a personal God. He's a person. And He wants a relationship with us where we're transparent with Him. And part of that is being honest about our sin. And not just figuring, well, we can just hide that from God. We can't. Not only that, their lives were so futile that they lacked any real peace. We're told that in verses 5 through 8. And for time's sake, I won't read it. But it says in verse 8, the way of peace they have not known. Why? Because their lives were so messed up and so embroiled in sin. Their conscience was so messed up that they couldn't possibly have the kind of peace that God wanted them to have. The fruit of their labors only produced wasting and destruction. Think about that. You may know some people like this. You may have been like this at one time. You may be like this right now. Seems like everything you do is a waste. Everything you do leads to destruction. Everything you do is a mess. And you got no peace. You have no peace. Well, you can't know peace if you are living a lie. And if you are living a lie and have to cover up lies, you can't get the peace of God. Pretending that everything is okay when it is not will not bring peace. And convincing yourself that your sins are not that bad will never bring real peace. Never. So, we need to understand that we need to be honest with God. Israel had to come to the point where they knew they could not handle their situation on their own, and they would need the help of the Lord for relief. And I'm thankful that He gives us relief. He will give us relief. David declared in Psalm 66, verse 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." When we don't assess the sin in our lives properly, we don't get God's help. That's what this says to us. So let's, when we see our sin, we should do a spiritual assessment of our lives. I believe it's in Corinthians where it says, "Judge yourselves so you're not judged by others." Judge yourself. Take a spiritual assessment of your life. We should be doing that from time to time. Take a spiritual assessment of our lives and see where we need to ask God for help. And He'll give it to us. He will give it to us. But if we think, "Oh, I'm okay, I'm great," well, we're not going to receive the help we need. We can't handle our spiritual problems with our own actions. Understand that. We need the grace of God to help us. We can't handle our sin. Only through God's grace can we handle our lives, that we can overcome the sins in our lives. And that's why God sent the Redeemer. We build bigger prisons to handle our crime problems, but the problem isn't our prisons aren't big enough. The real problem is our sin. Understand that. Think about that for a minute. You know, when we see crimes, we react to crimes by trying to make more laws. And we just try and make more laws, more laws, more laws. Well, that is not dealing with the real problem. The real problem is that we are sinful beings. And no laws are going to stop us from being sinful. Only Jesus Christ can help us overcome our sin. That's why He died on the cross for us. That's why we have salvation. Because we can't fix ourselves. Only God can. And we need to understand that. So what is the next step in getting help from God? Once we assess our situation, well, to get God's help, you must establish communication. And we see that in verses 12 through 15. When you get on the phone to call help, you must dial the right number. You must dial 911. If you dial 912, you're not going to get God's help. I mean, you're not going to get the help you need, right? Well, God wants us to dial the right number. God's number for help is humble confession. That's God's number for help. Humble confession. God's will is that we come to Him and humbly confess. Now, confession is a wonderful thing. It is good for our soul. Four preachers met for a friendly gathering. During the conversation, one preacher said, "Our people come to us and pour out their hearts, confessing certain sins and needs. Let's do the same. Confession is good for the soul." In due time, all agreed. One confessed that he liked to sneak off to the movies when he should have been at church. The second confessed to liking to smoke cigars. And the third one confessed to liking to play poker. When it came to the fourth one, he wouldn't confess. The others pressed him, saying, "Come now, we confessed ours. What is your secret or vice?" Finally, he answered, "It's gossiping, and I can't hardly wait to get out of here." That preacher didn't get the right number from God. Amen. Confession is good for the soul. As a matter of fact, it is freeing to the soul. David said in Psalm 32, verse 3, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long." There is nothing that takes the joy out of life like unconfessed sin on our conscience. It robs us of our peace. It robs us of our joy. And we need to understand that unconfessed sin robs us from God's forgiveness. And that hurts. So what we need to confess, Martin Luther said this, "I would let no man take confession away from me. And I would not give it up for all the treasures of the world, since I know what comfort and strength it has given me." Absolutely. What a wonderful blessing from God to be able to call on Him for help, to be able to say, "God, I am in need of your forgiveness, and I'm in need of you rescuing me from my sin." That's what He gives to us. He gives it to us, but we have to dial the right number, and the right number is humble confession to God. When we humbly confess, He is faithful to forgive us of our sins. Look at 1 John 1:9. It says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That is God's promise. See the promise plan of God here. God will help us with our sin problem if we dial the right number. So we need to assess our situation. We need to establish communication with God. And then finally, to get God's help, we must leave the rescuing to the rescuer. We must leave the rescuing to the rescuer. Notice that once God was called, He was able to quickly assess the situation and send the help that was needed. Look what verse 20 says. It says, "The Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord." You see, verse 20 tells us that a redeemer or rescuer will come out of Zion. God knows we need a rescuer from our sin. That's why He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins and to rise again on the third day. He is the Redeemer of Zion, Jesus Christ. He's the reason we get to call on God and get His help for our sin. Jesus is the reason we get to call on God for help for our sins. And He is the one that can rescue us from our sins. We can't do it on our own. Like I said, it's only by God's grace that we are rescued from our sins, that we have any hope of overcoming the evil that lies within us. It is because of that wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, that we're able to have a hope in a Redeemer, a hope in a Redeemer. And know that this covenant that is talked about in verse 21, here in Isaiah and in Hebrews and all throughout the scriptures will be fulfilled because Jesus Christ has performed our redemption. He has made a way for our sins to be forgiven. He has made a way for us to overcome sin in our lives. And that is why we should come to Him. That is why we should rely on Him. That is why we should look to God for His help. You know, you may say something like this in your life, praying to the Lord. Dear God, so far today, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm very thankful for that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm probably going to need a lot of help. Amen. And I can say amen to that. You may feel that way as well, right? Well, I want you to know, you will get God's help if you'll assess your situation, if you'll humbly confess to Him and rely on Him as your Redeemer. He wants to be your rescuer. He wants to help you. He wants to give you grace. That's His plan. That's His plan for you. So go to Him. Remember this as you go throughout your life, as you go through this week. I guarantee you're going to need it. I guarantee you're going to need it, unless you stay in bed all week. Okay?